Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, but still you always pick me up whenever I will call.
We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have, it's surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, still you always pick me up whenever I will call.
We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you.
Supposedly tonight we're going to have Don, John, and Albert. And so far we have Don calling in on his new cell phone. John should be joining us soon. I am going to read a passage in John 15. Today was the funeral of James Forrest, who lived in Alkmaar, Netherlands. He died in January. He was part of the International Peace Fellowship and an internationally known writer who wrote about famous people of the peace movement like Dorothy Day and Thomas Merton. And he also wrote about Christian things like the Beatitudes. We're going to talk about love and betrayal and certain elements of our own failures as it relates to these topics. The topic tonight is called Turning the Other Cheek When It's Appropriate. We will talk about firsthand accounts of love and betrayal in friendships, business deals, engagements, marriages, and even with our radio hosts. What are the deeper life lessons we can garner from this? So let me start out with these verses. Then we will probably segue into the changing dynamics in Europe. I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Most versions say the branch. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, God takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into a fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have joy, and that your joy may be complete. Now the next verse I'm not going to read until John joins, because it affects his life. Don, you're not on the air yet, but we're going to cut to a song so I can get a hold of John.
Hello, Jane. Hello, everyone. Life is hard, but at least I'm alive.
Yeah, I talked to Pat about a week ago. She gave me your new number.
Oh, okay. No problem. Yeah, no, I'm
some things to be discussed on the air and some things not.
Correct. I've got a job.
John's going through some trials today, and Suzette just got back from the hospital, and now Albert buzzed in. So we have Albert on the hold. So, Albert, hold on a sec. I just pulled in our first co-host. Tonight's topic is, stay on the air, Albert. Tonight's topic is turning the other cheek when it's appropriate. Tonight we'll talk about firsthand accounts of love and betrayal in friendships, business deals, engagements, marriages, and even conflict between radio hosts. We're talking about loyalty, so I'll start out with a little parable. About 8 years ago, we had a co-host on the air named Bob Aldrich, who was an expert in New Testament studies. And one night on the air, I asked him a personal question as it relates to just like a kind of what we're doing tonight, like a major theme in life. And he got upset and he wouldn't call the show anymore. And the name of our show at the time was called The Three Theologians. Well, out of the blue today, now he emailed me after 8 years and asked me to buy a Google Play card for his niece. And I think it was a scam because he was an only child and he has no kids. So
good
I realized work. After the second email, after I explained to him how to get the Google Play card either at Walgreens or CVS, I realized it was a scam. But needless to say, we've had several co-hosts go through trials in the last 3 months, including Suzette, who had a major medical trial, and Don's gone through some personal trials, and John's gone through some business-dealing trials that I can't talk about unless he's present. So either way, I'm going to pull Albert in, and this is Lent season. I know Albert isn't necessarily a practicing Catholic, but we're all religious on some level, and treating our fellow man well is one of the main concepts of these types of shows. So we will talk about what we need to do to improve our personal lives, and then we'll segue into what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine and everything else. So who wants to go first?
Well, hello, everybody. I'm just,
hi, Albert.
Hi, Albert.
Hey.
Don got mixed up on the time, so everybody's called in now, so go ahead.
I've got mixed on the time. Bullshit.
You said that you called in at 9.
No, I called you at 9 to ask about what the condo stuff is about.
Don't say the C word on the show, okay?
Mm.
Until John
condo?
Calls in.
Anyway, I can't
say mixed
condo.
Up. It's no condo, as not condom.
I said condo.
Maybe
yeah.
I should have
anyway,
named the show. Maybe I should have named the show condos, condoms, and condominiums.
Yeah,
two of the same thing.
Okay, I'm Albert.
Anyway, what's up, Albert?
Several people
up?
Are going through trials in our personal lives, and I. Just go ahead, Albert, with maybe some, we're on the topic of turning the other cheek, when it's appropriate to forgive someone or when it's appropriate not to.
I see. Well, I mean, that's a social preference, depending on the person. Definitely, not a political or not just depending on the person's feelings or whatever, but you know, it all depends. I mean, I could say yes one day, no the other day. But it depends on the situation.
Well, I'm a religious person, and I'm just going to give you a backstory. 2 weeks, we haven't had a show in 2 weeks. We had one 2 weeks ago about a lot of different heavy stuff. And Don, I'm not putting you on the spot. But Don said all you have to do is know the Holy Trinity. You don't have to know nothing inside the Bible. And then John and I argued with him that if you're a practicing Christian or any other religion, you have to be familiar with the content of what divine scripture you're worshiping. So I just read a long passage tonight about the vine and the branches, and that you can't do anything good apart from God. And Don, can you give me some of your ideas?
Well, I mean, when I was talking about the Trinity, the balance, every single religion, no matter what it is, has a form of the Trinity, you know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you know, anything like that. They all have that same concept. Even towards ego.
That's not necessarily true because Muslims don't. They don't believe in an all-powerful spiritual person who rose from the dead.
No, but they believe that there is a God. There is, a prophet,
a higher being,
a prophet, or someone who is, you know, the soul, and then there's the, you know, spirit or whatever you want to call that, taking care of the body and taking care of the soul. All religions have a form of Trinity. They don't call it Trinity, but they have a form of Trinity. That's why I say that that's the centerpiece concept of a balanced spirit. Now, what spirit you believe in, that's up to you. But now, on to the question at hand. What was the question again?
Well, you know, I like to add something
interesting. I'll tell you in a minute. Go ahead, Albert.
All right. I mean, about, you know, like Christianity or even Catholic or whatever, you know what I mean? Just the word of God and all this stuff, because you guys are on the page of religion. But the thing that's kind of really cutthroat is televangelists. Televangelists are big time, people that, you know, praise the Lord on television and get a lot of attention. And
you know,
and
who
Kevin,
they are.
Yeah. And Kevin Fischer, I probably butcher his last name, but Kevin Fischer, he's a rich multimillionaire that has gotten a lot of money from donors and just a lot of money, you know, during the doing televangelists like other millionaires that preach the word of God. And, you know, and he's one of them that has bought his own private jet. All right. He doesn't fly in a commercial jet like everybody else. He flies in his own private jet with the money he got from his donors, the people who donated to the church, which, by the way, the churches do not pay taxes, and the churches do not have to report any earnings according to the Federal Bureau of, you know, the United States.
It's 501c3, that means they're exempt from taxes.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. Like I said, Kevin Vangelis, this guy right here, and just like the other guys, right? When he went, just like the other guys who you know fly around in their private jets to preach the Lord, they have used their own private jets for their own personal gain too. They go on vacations and do all kinds of crazy stuff. You know what I mean? Go on. They own big mansions. They live in big houses.
Not every single pulpit preacher or person on TV is money driven. So
I know your mother is religious.
Based on religion, as you've been exposed to it, what is your impression of Christianity?
Well, you know, I don't think like the people that preach it, and you know the way we go to a preach house or whatever. I mean, the system is not perfect, and the people that preach it themselves are not perfect. And like this guy already mentioned already, like, you know, this guy himself, he said he didn't want to get a commercial there because he didn't want to be around the demons. He said that actually, you know. And Inside Edition went to interview him about that and asked him why he said that. You know what I mean? And he and I were beat around the bush and stuff like that. But it's like these. And then here's the fucked up part, because all these televangelists, they always fucking do, donate to this church. And they tell you how, like, you donate money to the church, you know, God will give back to you, and you will earn twice, quadruple more, you know, more. They give these false imitations.
That's called prosperity preaching.
Yeah, and people think because they donate, they're going to get twice as back from God. They even gone so far, and this is on the Colbert Show. I saw this on the Colbert Show where he showed how they went so far in this, where they even told you, if you owe a lot of money to your credit card and you're like, you owe a lot and you're in debt, you know, you give money to us, you know, like you give money to the Lord, and your debt will be recovered, and you know what I mean, you can get out of debt and you can save yourself, blah, 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 you know what I mean? And this is terrible because putting yourself more in debt is just not a good idea, and they're just giving people false hope.
Okay, I'm going to tell you guys something. First of all, there's only one segment of the church, a small segment, mainly mass media, that has the preaching style of prosperity preaching. There's other kinds of preachers out there that just preach the word strictly, and they're not self-motivated by money. So I'm going to give you guys a quick example of a preacher that named Charles Stanley, who everybody says is calm and never ruffles his feathers or screams at people. So I just want you to listen for 2 minutes. 1 second.
Four decades ago, we started in touch. What about your relationship with other people? Is it out of control? What about your attitudes towards some people, like jealousy? When you think about your life, is there any area of your life that you say, well, I think that's out of control? For example, you drink. And maybe you take drugs. Or maybe you gamble a little bit, you say. And what about gossiping? What about just having a critical spirit? What about being lazy? None of those fit who we are. That's why Paul said to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So when you think about your life, would you say that your life is under control? Or would you say that there are some areas of my life that certainly are not in control? Well, it's a battle. And that's the title of this message, The Battle for Self-Control. We all want to be in control of our lives. And now, what I mean by that is this. We want to have the relationship with our Lord by which we are submitted to Him to the point that we're not always battling. Because watch this. When things are not right between you and God, it's like a tug of war. God wants you to do the right thing. You'd like to, but you don't. And so there's tension and stress and uneasiness and oftentimes unhappiness, lack of peace, lack of joy, lack of all the things that Paul just mentioned. You see, you cannot be living a life of disobedience to God and have love, joy, peace, goodness, and all the rest. You can't. You say, well, I'm sort of happy the way I am, sort of. But you cannot have real happiness, real joy, real peace, real love, when you and the Lord Jesus Christ are not in agreement with that, your life. So I want us to think about this whole issue of the battle for self-control in our lives.
Okay, I was just playing that because I listen to Charles Stanley when I'm doing my data entry job. And I consider him a very calming, knowledgeable person. He's not really beating the Bible over our heads, but he's getting to the heart of the matter on whether we're disobedient or following God. Like it's kind of called a, when you get convicted. So I feel like he's the kind of preacher that appeals to me. Now, I don't know what you guys are at or where you are religiously in your life, but it's just kind of an example of what I think. What did you guys think of that preacher? Don or Albert,
Yeah, no, his message was true. You know, if you give yourself, if you more or less submit yourself to something, anything, if it's God, that's good. All the stress is lifted off of you, all of it. Even neurotic people, even people who are pretty neurotic or antsy or whatever, if they give their lives over to something, and in our case we're talking about the spirit, if they give their lives over there to that, they're going to guaranteed be a lot calmer, you know, a lot more effective, because they're able to think without all the garbage in your head, in their heads. So, you know, he's right about that.
Yeah, and also, like, he doesn't come across as you must do this or you must do that or you're going to hell. Like, as Albert was talking about prosperity preachers, there's also the fire and brimstone, like, people who are trying to bully believers into an unhealthy relationship with God, only thinking of what the end result might be. So he's not that kind of preacher either. He's a nice preacher. But he's strong enough to not be so. He's not a soft preacher, but he's a powerful preacher, because he's getting the message across without trying to pressure people.
Right. Well,
so, Albert, what did you think?
Albert's right. The preachers are terrible. I mean, they do have greed, and first and foremost, a lot of them. But there are a lot of them who still, you know, feel their effectiveness, even though they're collecting $50 million a week. So, you know, there is an effect, a part of it that is still well-intended and receptive, well-receptive.
Also, the thing is, Albert and Don, is that with COVID, a lot of businesses did better during COVID, but a lot of businesses did worse. So maybe people were sitting around listening to sermons more and possibly donating to the church, but other people couldn't donate to the church because they didn't have any income. So
right.
I think for the most part, the only people who do donate to the church are people who can afford it. Because I was a member of First Baptist
Kevin Copeland,
Church of Beverly
and
Hills
Donald,
25 so. Years. And there's a guy in our church whose name starts with a T who donates like $500 a week, but he can afford it. We can't.
Yeah, but people who can't afford it still donate. It may not be each week, but they donate sporadically.
Albert's right about some people thinking if they donate more, they're going to get something back. But
don't donate to Kevin Copeland and Purple Donald.
That's not even biblical. God
it
says
is,
he will bless you and deliver on his promises, but it's not always about money.
Yeah,
but
Purple Donald set aside funding for to buy his own private jet because he wanted to be like the other rich guys.
But where is he going to go in his private jet? He's going to fly across the world and preach another sermon.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, they also buy big mansions. They buy big mansions. You know what I mean? Instead of buying a private jet and buying big mansions, you know what? But can feed the homeless, do this, and, you know, help people out. You know, that's what church is supposed to do. But, like, you know what I mean? You got these greedy, big, you know, televangelists.
And a lot
of
churches do feed the homeless. The body of Christ, which is the people within the church, a lot of people do that. Now, I'm sorry that there's bad preachers out there, but that's not the whole mark of the religion. Just like Muslims bombing targets is not the whole face of Islam.
Yeah, and another, and then to go back on Russia and Ukraine, an interesting part that you guys probably don't know, because they did say they banned Russian Today, Russian news outlets in Europe and Canada, but for some reason they didn't say they're banning in America, but they sure did ban in America when I went to go look up the YouTube channels and any you know, and all their web pages were it was all closed down. So they closed down their web pages, Twitter feeds, their YouTube feeds, Instagram, everything. They closed down all all Russian news outlets are completely all closed out here in America. You know, you have to literally fucking, you know what I mean? Like go on the black internet or fucking, or just fucking random type shit to find on other people's channels that pre-record it, that pre-record it, and then put it on their channel. That's the best thing you'll find, but you're not going to find any legitimate Russian news in America or Europe or Canada anymore. Like they completely wiped it out. And talk about free speech. I mean, they free speech are supposed to be, I think, the First Amendment, but they just, you know, they don't want it. They don't want free speech if it's from Russia.
I have something to tell you, Albert, and I'll let Don go. Our local news, I live in a city of 86,000, and our newspaper is owned by Forum Publications. They own like 5 major newspapers up here. But they donated $5,000 to Ukrainian newspapers today so that the people who are running the newspapers in the Ukraine can get the truth out. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And $5,000 is going to get maybe 4 hours out of everybody.
Well, you know what, John? I mean, it's a gesture. Like,
yeah.
The Duluth News Tribune does not pull in that much money. Like, we service all the way to the Canadian border to the middle of Wisconsin, but because we're the only major city up here. But on the other hand, we're not like, we're not Minneapolis or, you know, Chicago. So at least they gave some money. I mean, this is a profit-driven newspaper.
Question. Here's the question. What does that tell us about our leaders that closed down all these Russian news outlets? What does that tell us that, you know, why don't they want us to hear what they have to say?
Sometimes John defends Putin because he thinks that the mass media is kind of making Putin look way worse than he is, but let's face it,
yeah. Putin is not.
You know how we were on the topic of religion, you guys? An Orthodox priest got killed at a checkpoint yesterday in the Ukraine. An Orthodox Ukrainian priest got killed at a checkpoint yesterday. Why they killed him. I don't know if he argued with them, but I'll try to look it up while you guys are talking.
Here's the interesting thing, because, like, our corporate mainstream media, why didn't they cover all the innocent people that were dying when America was attacking Iraq? Why didn't they cover all the innocent people that accidentally died from the drone strikes that happened in Libya? Why didn't they cover that? Why didn't they cover the drone strikes that
happened in
America,
our interest
in Syria? Exactly. The mainstream corporate media refused to cover Syria, Libya, Iraq, and other countries our American leaders have decided to bomb. They don't cover that. But when it's a different country that it's not allied to them, you know, like Russia, now they want to cover that.
Albert, skin color, it's black and white. And Africa, they're killing people left and right in Africa. And it's Africans are killing Africans. And now we have Russians killing Russians. Because Ukraine is, most of the Ukrainians are Russian. So you got, and you know, Ukraine was once Russia, then it became independent, then Russia took it back, and then it became independent. So Russians are killing Russians. Those blue-eyed, blonde-haired people get much more press.
And then Russia also abducted a bunch of the people back across their border. So they took citizens from the Ukraine and force them to go back into the Russian territory with no choice at all. Like, it's either you come with us or you're dead.
Well, that's how they did it in Libya. That's how they did it in Iraq. That's how they did it everywhere that Albert was start them off.
And by the way,
yeah,
I did see a cartoon the other day that said there were two signs, adopt a Ukrainian, and there were like 50 white people in line. And then in the next booth it said, help a homeless veteran, and nobody was standing in line for that booth.
Yeah, and here's the interesting part, because if you didn't hear about this like many years ago, you probably won't hear about it now unless you already knew about it. And it's pretty hard to find in the internet unless you know exactly what to type and what to look for, because it's kind of hidden in the internet. But there was a time back in 1998, the town hall meeting on Iraq. And so people they actually were asking people's questions. And here's a very interesting. This is only like half a minute, so just hear it out real quick.
Woman in the white shirt, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question for Secretary Albright. Why bomb Iraq when other countries have committed similar violations? Turkey, for example. Can I finish? For example, Turkey has bombed Kurdish citizens. Saudi Arabia has tortured political and religious dissidents. Why does the U.S. apply different standards of justice to these countries?
All right. This was when he asked Senator Albright, a long time ago. But they don't do things like that anymore. They don't allow people to ask questions like that anymore. They learned their lesson.
Thing we should talk about tonight, you guys, is Don and Albert, did you watch any of the hearings in this Congress of Ketanji Brown, the appointment to the Supreme Court?
No, I didn't watch that.
I did, and it was very old school and rigid, and it was very archaic in some areas, the way those Southern conservative senators behave with black people.
Duh. I mean, I'm sorry.
It's so embarrassing. It's like the dark ages.
Now everybody's going to have to stop. That's how America was built. On the white man making sure that he stays in power no matter what. I've already told you that I'm a journalist. I studied with journalism, worked for the LA Times, as you know, yada, yada. And the CRT now is here, critical race theory, and that's the last thing anybody who is a white male wants to see. But we're talking about the fact that this has gone on in the country.
And she's married to a white man. She has a beautiful mixed daughter.
Why would you be surprised? And who's married? Well, the bottom line is that you see what Clarence Thomas's wife was doing. She was almost inciting whatever you might call it, treason.
Kind of weird that Clarence Thomas is married to a white woman and Ketanji Brown is married to a white guy, but both black people on the Supreme Court are married to someone in the opposite race.
And they like who they like, here's the interesting part I want you to hear on this, though, what he actually said on the second time he got a final thing, and this will only take 10 seconds, not that long.
My microphone is off. There we are. What do you have to say about dictators of countries like Indonesia, who we sell weapons to, yet they are slaughtering people in East Timor? What do you have to say about Israel, who is slaughtering Palestinians, who impose martial law? What do you have to say about that? Those are our allies. Why do we sell weapons to these countries? Why do we support them? Why do we bomb Iraq when it commits similar problems?
Yeah, just
an
interesting
thing. I want to comment on that piece you just played. The Indonesia thing might be legitimate, but the reason Israel slaughters Palestinians is because they constantly feel threatened. By their enemies. Right or wrong?
No.
Right or wrong,
yeah, well,
they still do it.
God. You
well, yeah, our American leaders feel threatened by everyone, apparently, because they also have 900 bases around the world.
You got, yeah, exactly. You got these almost peasant-like Palestinians living in a little strip of land that's almost uninhabitable, and you've got a neighbor with nuclear weapons and a license, green light to do whatever they want. What kind of a equal formula is that, or equation is that? Doesn't even make sense. The Palestinians are, you know.
I was just making a comment that
they didn't,
like,
talk about the Uyghurs.
For example,
people from Myanmar.
I was just making a comment on that. A lot of people sell weapons to other countries, including Russia, who helped annihilate Syria. But we conducted two full-scale wars in Pakistan and Iraq, and we killed 250,000 Iraqi civilians by accident. But Albert's right. Nobody really covered it on headline news.
That's because we revere our military. Our military,
yeah, in fact,
you know, even when it's friendly fire death.
Yeah, in fact, you know, when Russia was attacking Afghanistan, well, America supported Afghanistan with a lot of military weapons. And then when America, you know, was in Vietnam, Russia was giving Vietnam military weapons and, you know, so on and so on. But this time America said, well, we're going to give our top military equipment, you know, to Ukraine. And so they gave Ukraine not just guns, like they did not, like in Afghanistan. They said, no, we're going to give fucking, they give them rocket launchers that can take out helicopters and tanks. And these are not just like some cheap old, you know, old rocket launcher, just like the top state of the art. They gave them Stinger rocket launchers and also the Javelins rocket launchers. So, you know, when you watch, you know, on the news, you see how a lot of Ukraine military people have taken out tanks and Russian helicopters using American rocket launchers, top of the line American rocket launchers used by Ukraine military.
Point? That nobody else can get rocket launchers from America for virtually free.
Right. Well, I think it's not that no can have. I think, you know, there's a reason why America's doing it, because it's beneficial to their term to give Ukraine those rocket launchers, because Ukraine was the president was going to form with NATO. They had all the signs of them forming together with NATO. That's one of the main reasons, I believe, that Russia didn't want Ukraine to, be part of NATO, because then NATO would be a front. Imagine if, you know, Ukraine became part of NATO, and then America can actually put nuclear weapons in Ukraine, which would mean they have nuclear weapons. They can literally reach Moscow, you know, literally the capital of where Putin is at. He doesn't want, you know, weapons like that nearby his neighborhood, right? And, you know, so you can understand what's going on. You know? But, you know, interests, you know, common interests, you know, Putin's got his interests, Biden's got their interests, and that, you know, it's a power struggle of powerful people, but the people at the bottom are the people that are suffering now.
Well,
okay. What do you have to say about that, Don?
I said, too bad. That's the way the world is, and we're gonna have to suck it up and live with it. I mean, for the most part, this is a rolling rock downhill. The momentum is so great that there's no one solution to any problem. You've got multiple solutions. You've got people who are working, making money to make sure that things don't work right. And then you've got hackers who are hacking into all the things that people are doing. And you've got hackers, on the hackers, then you got the cyber security agencies trying to get the hackers who are hacking the hackers. This is a runaway train. So I think that for the most part, one of the things is to make sure you're living a healthy and happy life. And sometimes, you know, if you think about another person's happiness, you're like, okay, are they happy or aren't they? And you could never tell. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you're doing everything by the seat of your pants and just praying and hoping for the best.
I do have a comment regarding two things you guys both said. In the last 40 years, when America became a single hegemon power, in political science as we call it, there was no longer a bipolar system where it was the U.S. versus Russia, at least in that point, at 1989. We became the only unipolar superpower in the world, according to political science thought. But Russia never stopped pushing the edges of what they were trying to accomplish within their own regional framework. So as you guys know, everybody knows, they overtook Crimea in 2014. They attempted to overthrow the Ukraine in 2014, but didn't. They're pervasive in Syria and Azerbaijan. They're loose alliances with China. But then they also have these secret deals going on with Germany and the gas and the natural resources and distributing oil to Europe. So not everything is obvious.
Don't forget about it.
But
a decade
it's not
ago,
like it was 150 years ago where there were European alliances, and every 10 to 50 years the alliances would shift directions. And ever since World War II, Europe has been relatively quiet. That's why it's kind of disturbing that people are on the edge wondering if this is going to turn into World War III. If the United States is aligned in every bordering country to Russia right now from Europe, whether it's Estonia all the way down to the southern edge of the Ukraine. So it's very disturbing right now what could happen, and nobody knows. And, why are you making that noise, Don?
Don't worry, be happy.
Do you have a glass of wine with dinner?
I don't drink, you know that, fool. But anyway, that's what I just went on my diatribe and said, my soliloquy, I'm sorry, and said that there's nothing we can do. We're in a runaway train. As John said, as he was on the show, we're at the number of the beast. And so we're in a spiral into purgatory.
We're not going to try to control it, but we can help define it.
It can't be defined because there is, at least not right now, because there is a certain segment of the world, global society, that thinks that there is superiority in certain cultures. And when they realize that superiority is just new, and the people who have run things are people of color throughout the existence of the world.
Let's ask Albert's not quite 40 yet. Let's ask him. We're on the edge of a major catastrophic war that he's never lived through. I was born 15 years after the end of World War II, and I saw Vietnam, Iraq, and I guess Albert did live through Afghanistan. But
well,
Albert, do you perceive this Ukrainian-Russian war any differently than I... Wait, Don.
Hold on.
Okay, I'll let you finish, John.
Let me make a preface. Let's just say, let's just remind people that this is an archaic method of military conflict, if you want to call it that. This is archaic, going into entire countries and bombing the snot out of them. That's archaic, and they're...
Well, it's also frontline warfare. It's frontline warfare, like in World War II, where they come in with tanks.
They're not doing it with drones.
They're hand-to-hand combat.
That's what I'm saying. This is archaic, and I just want everyone to... I want Albert, basically, to remember that when he starts answering your question.
Yeah, I mean, there cannot be a World War III because of the nuclear bombs. There can always be another Cold War like the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Correct.
And during that time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, the U.S. Navy ships put a blockade for the Russian ships to come over to Cuba and, you know, hand the new nuclear weapons and stuff like that. They didn't want that there. And then they also had, American airplanes flying over the coast of Russia, back and forth and nuclear armed and ready. Just in case they need to drop a nuclear bomb right away in Russia, they had one ready to go at any times, and this was in the Cold War. And so now we're kind of going back into the Cold War, as already you heard, you know, that Russia told his men to have the nuclear weapons ready to go at any second, you know, the red alert, you know, basically what he gave. I assume that also Biden gave that, not openly, but probably secretly. So right now we're kind of without people actually even knowing because, you know, the leaders are not going to give out technical, information that, affect them or anyway, you know what I mean? Military information does not get out until after everything is said and done. So we're probably in the Cold War right now where U.S. and Russia are just flying around and getting their nuclear weapons, moving them around and having them ready to go, you know. So another Cold War.
Well, let me
nobody...
ask you guys a question. Being the fact that I'd say 75% of the world is estranging Russia now, and by putting blue and yellow lights up everywhere, by knocking down on their financial markets and blocking them from certain transactions, it's only making Russia more volatile, which could lead to a much more damaging scenario. Like they're taking away all of Russia's dignity. Any hopes that Russia would have for conquering the Ukraine and having pride in it are being stripped away.
Well, there's another
they're being
thing
stripped
too,
away, and they're also they're not re- Russia's getting devalued financially, and I also heard this other major corporation of some sort was coming after Russia for a $6 million figure of some sort, or six-digit figure. It just seems very, and 3M Corporation, which is based in St. Paul, Minnesota, pulled out of Russia, along with a bunch of other corporations, and it just seems like the Russian people are not responsible for the war, so it just seems to me extremely damaging.
And here's the
but they are responsible for what they learned.
Even though Russia is suffering more financially, America is suffering, quite a bit financially, just a bit, especially on the gas prices.
They are with
Russia,
gas prices.
Russia was the outporter of oil, so that means since we're no longer in oil from Russia, our gas prices have gone up. Although, you know, that mainly just affects the middle class and the lower class. I mean, that's not going to really affect the, you know,
we get very
powerful rulers of America. Yeah.
We get very little oil from Russia.
Oh, yeah, but even a small downper does increase. And, you know, and our American leaders haven't had done anything big and drastic to really boost up our electric vehicles. Our electric vehicles have been a really slow increase, increments, not really big changes. Like, not like China. I mean, China has made really big changes in terms of electrical vehicles. But another thing, too, you know, just like Russia is invading Ukraine, China has showed big signs of invading Taiwan, and back then, a long time ago, when they were looking to invade Taiwan, America came to Taiwan's aid, and what they did is they just brought their big Navy SEALs and their aircraft carriers, and their the big aircraft carrier ships. And they just basically drove, you know, in the water. I don't know how you say drive in the water. Like, you know, I mean, they move it around the water of the coast of China, basically. And that kind of stopped China. But then again, China has recently gone back to flying their Chinese jets around Taiwan. They fly around Taiwan, I guess, for, to see what's going on in Taiwan. So it's kind of been a back and forth thing, and now even though American tried a second time, that didn't really deter China from keep on flying their jets over Taiwan. So even though the Navy SEAL did another turnaround a couple of years later, it didn't stop it. So it's still if Russia and Ukraine heat up and other stuff happens, that could probably give an opening for China to come into Taiwan, and then we. You know, and then now America has to deal with that too.
I'm rewriting the show description, so Don, can you carry the show for 2 minutes? I just have to change the title.
All right. Well, that's the problem with Russia. They spread their forces out too thin, trying to come in on. What, five different fronts? The best way to come in just a straight line sometimes.
And what they did too slow, though.
They came in the wintertime.
Well, check this out. What they did too slow is it took way too long to finally. Oh yeah, Russia took way too long to finally use their navy ship to drop a bunch of Halo missiles and whatnot. I mean, when America came into Iraq, the first day, they dropped a whole bunch of missiles before they even came in. So Russia's kind of doing things backwards, and people are wondering, well, why didn't go with the missiles first? You know, like, I mean, I think Russia at the time they really thought that they weren't going to get that much resistance, so they thought they'd need the missiles at first, but they were wrong, and you know now they use them.
So they
kill it.
I have a question for you guys. Poland was one of the first countries that Russia annihilated, and Germany in World War II. Poland has traditionally been on the attack from both Russia and Germany in the past, and now Poland is kind of like the intermediate savior for 1 million Ukrainians. But then again, Germany, who was condemned for decades after World War II, is now kind of like the anti-hero for managing relations with Russia over future gas and oil reserves. So it's just kind of weird how the roles play. Roles change with different countries.
Well,
do you guys think... Albert's call dropped, but I don't know if it was Don. Albert's call dropped maybe in air. But
right.
Don, what do you think would happen if Putin upped the ante? What do you think it would take for the NATO forces to enter the war?
An actual strike on not necessarily American soil at something that would be Americanized, a base, or maybe an embassy somewhere where they would
You mean like across the border from the Ukraine, like in Poland or
right.
Germany?
Yep. something like that. You know, the Russians have a very strong financial interest in England. So there could be some kind of English, you know, American, you know.
Albert, you're back on the air. Maybe your call dropped.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
So, you guys, we've been going for an hour, and I did work a 8-hour day on my feet, so we're going to go 20 more minutes. So I was talking to Don Albert about what did he think would push the NATO forces over the edge to enter the war, and he thought it would be an attack on one of their territories. Albert, what do you think would be the driving force?
What proxy wars all day long. That's what they did in Syria. That's what they did in other countries, and they're doing it basically right now. And so what they do in these proxy wars, not only just bring a bunch of military equipment and stuff like that, they get a lot of mercenaries too to go, hey, fight the war. You know what I mean? Here's some guns. I mean, I think ISIS was created, you know. They didn't come out of nowhere. They didn't just grab all these guns out of nowhere. There were mercenaries before, and now look at that. There are a bunch of crazy rebels killing people. You know what I mean?
I agree with you 80%.
Giving weapons to a bunch of people. And then,
Syria was not a proxy war. It was a civil war in which Bashar al-Assad annihilated his own people.
He wiped out the entire
fucking nation, except for maybe.
But then it became a proxy war.
Northeastern corner when all those weird ass groups like the Peshmerga and the ISIS and all those other people filtered in through the Northeast quadrant. And I disagree with John because the United States was not directly involved in that war. We had some army intelligence there that was helping out the Kurds, but we didn't have boots on the ground in Syria. Maybe we might have had some special forces, but we never had boots on the ground there.
No, we
Russia
just had
controlled
drones.
That
we just
whole
had...
situation, and we let Russia go down with Syria. Like, the United States barely intervened at all.
No, we just had drones fly over there every day and then drop the bomb when we find a target worth dropping on, You know what I mean? Like, and here's the thing that I was saying, it was going to happen in Ukraine, right, in the proxy war type. Because they were, I can't remember what I was going to say.
In Yemen, nobody gave two shits if all those civilians died. There's a big chunk of their population that starved to death.
And here's the interesting thing that the mainstream media did not cover, but an actual fact, and, you know, they always ignore it, but I actually heard it from the Russian news, and then I heard it from independent media, and that's how I figured, well, that's real. Because and then Ukraine, you know, and the American Western media, they just tell you, oh, well, the, you know, people are evacuating because they're being killed by Russians. But then they don't tell you is people at a certain age were not allowed to evacuate. That's why there was a big line of cars of people trying to evacuate because the Ukraine soldiers were looking at everybody's IDs and everybody that was under 18 was allowed to leave, or that was over 60 was allowed to leave. But if you were in between 18 or 60, you had to stay. You had to stay and fight. And that's one of the reasons you hear the mainstream media. They're like, look at all these volunteers. They're volunteering to fight for their country, fight for their Ukraine country because they love their country so much. These Ukrainians, look at their volunteering. They're not volunteering. They're not allowed to leave their country. And then they get hand some guns. Like, here's some guns.
Albert? They did have civilians a month before the threat. Gather supplies in their basement of food and weapons with even some of their legislator people had these sp- specialized style guns that they were going to use against the Russians and fight in the street. So some people decided on their own. Well, some people decided on their own to become their own militia. They weren't even part of the regular government. They weren't part of the regular government army.
I'm going to tell you that probably some of those people are very far few and from in between because, like you know what I mean? I don't think most people want to be separated from their kids and their wife and all that stuff. They'd rather be with their family and be somewhere else and happy, right? I mean, why would you, you know what I mean? Why would you want to risk your life when you can just go to another country with your family and be happy with them? You know what I mean? I think most people do want to be together. And there's videos. I saw videos of kids crying, you know, that are like separated from their dad, and their dad's kind of like, oh, well, I can't leave. They won't let me leave.
I agree that they didn't want to do it, but they had to. But these group of people in Mariupol, Ukraine decided not to leave their city, and they're all living like in bus areas and like in transportation exchange zones. So, there's also people who refuse to leave the country.
Yeah, but I think, you know what I mean, the Ukraine and the Western media, they lie things about those and they lie about other things. I mean, they should be just straight up honest, and they should just leave. This is let the people leave. Like, whoever wants to leave should leave. You know, not to force them to stay there to fight, and then all of a sudden put on the mainstream media. Look at all these volunteers. Look at all these people. You know, and they tell all those people that you heard that you're talking about because you heard about them because they talk about them. You know, in the mainstream media, they talk about them. Look at all these people. You know, they're volunteering. They're so willing. They're so caring. They want to stay. They want to stay and fight. You know what I mean? I'm thinking most people just want to leave. Most people just want to leave, but they're not allowed to, and I think that's pretty fucked up. I just messed up. It's just it should allow them to leave.
But that's to show you how messed up.
I don't think a big chunk of those people are coming back. The whole country can't escape. They can't all become refugees.
People are coming back into Ukraine, you guys. They're coming back to fight. Women are too. They're being trained in Estonia, and they're coming back across the border to fight. So not every – I mean, they left for a minute.
Mercenaries.
They're not mercenaries, Albert. They're people fighting – mercenaries are paid killers. These are civilians coming to fight for their own country.
They're coming back.
Well, that's
back,
what
Albert.
The mainstream media tells you.
I already read an article
about a woman in Crimea who was Ukrainian who went and decided on her own to go fight for the Ukraine.
It was just on while we were talking. News report on CNN or IMAN where the women are being trained in Estonia and coming back into Ukraine to fight.
I think, Albert, in some ways, you know, you make a lot of good points, but not the whole world does not have bad motives. Like, there are people out there with pure motives.
And remember,
it would just be like if somebody invaded your city tomorrow out of nowhere and you either had to fight, flight, or freeze. You would have to make a choice, but not everybody has these scrupulous values where they're just going to all of a sudden, what's the best advantage for myself?
I understand. I would take care of my family. I would take care of my family and take my family away and go with my family to safety, unless the military, you know, I wouldn't go fight for a country or whatever for any, you know, stupid government or leader they want me to fight. Hell no, I'll take my family to safety, unless they offer me a lot of money, like a lot of money, and I know with that money I'm going to be able to take good care of my family. And they offer me a lot of money to come over, then I'll fight. And then they'll say, oh, look at this guy, he volunteered. volunteer, so the mainstream media can just say, hey, look, you volunteer, blah, blah, blah. And then they
you
pay, me a,
know how
money,
the,
they pay me a lot of money.
You want
to
know how the draft ended in America?
Check this out. Check this out. If they gave me like $50 million to lie on TV and be like, hey, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
hey, I'm going to fight for my country because I love
Can you give me a chance to talk?
Yeah. All right, go for it.
I lived through Vietnam where men were drafted into the war against their own will. The reason the draft ended is because the Army got smart. They decided they can have an all-volunteer Army if they can give each individual citizen enough perks to join, like free college, free, eventually a VA loan. And that's exactly what they did. There hasn't been a draft. It probably ended in 1972. They don't need a draft anymore because people, I'm not saying they're dumb enough to join, but they made their own decision to join because they're getting advantages out of it. Now,
yeah,
I don't agree with
that.
Yeah,
money makes the world go around. Yeah.
Right, and I didn't want my son to join the Army because I know of all the bad stuff that went down in Vietnam, but he did, and hopefully he won't have to die for his decision. So let's do our conclusions now. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead,
Albert. No, I guess, I mean, there's a lot of, I believe there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of, you know, and I, you know, I, there's a lot of fake media, and usually, you know what they say, like the history is written by the winners, you know, and the news is, you know, really, and, you know, I mean, and now with the, you know, the news, like, you know, it's not something of the dark ages where they need a soldier in every corner of the block to keep people in order. You know, they rule over the media, they rule over the internet. You know, they control our lives. You know what I mean? Big Brother is spy on us and everything. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I mean, I've grown up, you know, really suspicious about the, you know.
Can I ask you a question? How much have you suffered?
And what I read.
Have you ever gone hungry or have you ever been homeless?
Yeah, I've been homeless. I told you before, remember? I've been homeless.
Okay,
yep.
I agree with you on some of your points that occur within America, but there are real people in the world who are suffering right now. It's just like how John was behaving during COVID, saying that, well, the government masks are fake, the virus isn't really real. Well, the virus did kill over 1 million people. So
we
may
that.
Not
no, no, no.
see all
I,
the suffering in the world, but it's real. And people, the city of Warsaw in Poland has just doubled. It went from 1 million to 2 million people. And 1 million of those 2 million people are refugees. Like, there's real pain going on. It doesn't matter what the corrupt leaders or media is doing. It's a freaking crisis. Just like the 1 million Syrians who marched up to Europe, and half of them were rejected, and half of them were taken in. So the world has been in major upheaval for over 5 years now. There's worldwide wars everywhere. There's wars in the Yemenis, there's wars in Indonesia, there's mental wars in the U.S. The whole world is falling apart. And crime has tripled in California due to COVID. I have a sister in San Francisco. Their car gets vandalized about once a month. My friend in West Hollywood said crime has doubled there. There's real people suffering. Luckily, I live in an area where my rent is reasonable and I still have two decent jobs. But one of them doesn't pay very well, but it gives me extra money. But anyways, I'm just saying that the world is suffering right now and we have to pay attention.
I agree. I agree to everything you're saying. I agree. And, you know what I mean? And I do believe some things that I hear from the media. I mean, like I say, I think things with a grain of salt, and I don't necessarily believe everything, and I don't necessarily believe nothing. I just look at everything and, you know what I mean, and just really, you know what I mean, really, really just investigate myself and don't just let the media just automatically, you know, assume that they're going to be is percent true on everything they say, right? Don't just assume, right? And the thing is that it's really terrible about all these things that you say they're happening. They're really terrible, and it's true. But the worst part of it, one of the worst parts of it is every time all these bad things are happening, the corporate mainstream media, the rulers of this earth and the corporate mainstream media use this to their advantage to fuel their political agendas, because and that's how much they show you how much they care about those people, because they actually don't care about those people, and they use all
well,
the people
suffering.
Well, I
disagree
all
with that
for their own political
I don't think
game.
There's any hidden puppets behind this. Russia decided to invade the Ukraine. There's major life consequences. It's not some scheme by the Bilderbergers or whatever. So, Don, I'm going to deflect to you because I want to go to bed. I want to. The show has to end in the next 5 minutes because my feet are killing me.
Okay, well, if you're laying down, what the hell are your feet doing?
Anyway. I'm not laying down. I'm sitting at my computer desk, and I have to end the episode.
All right, well, you know, there is a certain amount of philosophical fatalism that I have concerning the perpetuation of culture, I guess you can say, our overall cultures. Because as 25 Lives, Vince Ellison, you know, might say that, you know, we're one of our, you know, biggest lies is that just Jesus was this guy with this long hair and stuff. So, you know, we've got to figure out what the truth is from the starting point. We have to maybe even start all over again and see where we go from here, because our society, our human race has evolved. 2,000 years is a long time, you know, 1,300 years for the starting of the Bible, 1,700 years, I'm sorry. So, you know, we're looking at a revision, a need for revisions of what we've learned over this last 2,000 years, but so that we can go forward with a revised vision for the future. So, you know, all this stuff, Albert, you know, love you, but doggone it, you get caught up in the weeds, man. There's a whole big picture. These guys are doing this stuff. They're doing this stuff. They're stealing, just like you said. You know, you got priests living, you know, yes, in big houses, just like you said. However, you've got to, our purpose as human beings are to find ways to traverse that. Greed has been in our DNA since day one. So, you know, this is nothing new, Albert. You know, so it's what you do in the environment that counts. But that's pretty much what I wanted to say. Just, you know, reparations now and get, you know, just move on. Get on with it. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone. Have a good one, Eric.
I think Jane might have already gone to sleep.
She probably fell asleep.
I'm here. My mind is drifting. By the way, you guys, I was going to tell Don that it got up to 50 one day here, but then it dropped to 27 degrees these last 2 days. What's it like in Reno?
It's only 81 today. And,
kiss off!
Absolutely gorgeous, so that's all I can say. Hey.
I might come to visit soon. I have another friend that just moved to Reno.
Right, and you were talking about an ex-boyfriend who did something or you saw or slept with.
He lives in San Jose. He flew here for his father's funeral. He let me see his dad before he died. He let me come to the nursing home. Then we saw each other on a Monday a week later, and then he would not let me come to the funeral because he was scared that his wife would get jealous. He was the love of my life. I was engaged to him from 96 to 97. And when we broke up, I had a rebound relationship and I got pregnant with Lauren 2 weeks later.
Okay.
So he was, Paul was my favorite mistake. Lauren was the outcome of that rage.
Right, right. That rage can lead people to all kinds of unknown conclusions. But,
well, I was 36 going on 37, so it's a good thing. I had just turned 37 when I got pregnant with Lauren.
Well, why couldn't you have gotten pregnant with his? That's another
because
show.
He was a short little sawed-off shit. He didn't like sex anyways because he had been in the priesthood.
And so he was your favorite. Okay, way to pick it up.
It's a long story.
No shit. They all
I made three YouTube videos about it. I can send you the link.
Yeah, well, if it gets up on my phone, I don't always get those links.
My last boyfriend from 2018 not counting Colorado Mike because he was tall, but my last boyfriend from 2018 to 2022 was only 5'6" too. So I don't fare well with short men.
No, you don't fare well with.
I told you about that website. Remember the dating app?
I ain't gonna date nobody else. I'm too old. I'm looking for
a
rich man now. I'm going to be like the corporate world and screw everybody over.
What do you do? Okay.
Sugar
daddy. You got to find the man first to do that.
I could if I wanted to, but right now I'm not interested. I'm too busy. I just got a raise at my job, and I'm trying to bust my ass to succeed.
There is sugardaddy.com.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, we're ending the show, you guys. I have to call Don back in 5 minutes and tell him what's going on with John, okay? And Albert, I'll call you soon, okay?
All right, for sure.
God bless you all, and follow Jesus to the end.
All right, Albert, you hear that?
Follow
I'm
Jesus.
Agnostic.
Bye-bye. God's coming back.
All right,
good night.
I'll call you back.
Bye.